Okay, it is, I forgot already, September 28th, 2011.
Yes, it is.
And this is Joan Weaver, and Rosetta Graff is here from the Kinsey Library. We're in the library interviewing Mary Fox. And I think that's all I have to say at the beginning. Okay, Mary, you want to tell us your full name?
Mary Alice Fox.
And where do you currently reside?
In Kinsley at Oak Manor, 210 West 9.
And when and where were you born?
Lewis, Kansas.
And you want to give the year on this or not?
Sure I do. 1932. Sure I do.
And what were the names of your parents?
Mary Catherine Bear, B-E-A-R, and William Bill Johnston.
With a T.
With a T.
We'll say that for our transcriber.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And who were your grandparents on both sides?
On my mother's side, Emma Alice Bear and Edgar Bear, Solomon Edgar Bear, actually.
Solomon.
And my paternal grandparents, I never knew, I have a picture of them, but I never knew, they were originally Arkansas people and died rather young, I think. I know very little about them, but I know about the aunts and,
do you know
and
their
the
names
other relatives. No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't know their names.
And what was your grandmother on your the Bear grandmother, what was her maiden name? Do you know that?
Grunder.
Oh, how do you spell that?
G-R-U-N-D-E-R.
Okay.
And she had family living around Kinsley and Maxville.
Okay. And, let's see. What brought your grandparents to the area, like the county here?
Well, my grandmother came when people lived in sod houses out on the prairie and picked up cow chips for the cooking, and that was over in the Maxville area. And they had probably a homestead. They certainly had some land, little land there anyway, and the kids were raised there. And then my grandfather came out from Pennsylvania. I think he was born in the United States, but I don't really know for sure. He was called Pennsylvania Dutch. He was Solomon Edgar Bear. And he came out here and was an entrepreneur and had a home in the back of the store that they ran in Hopewell, Kansas. And that's where the three girls they had were born, because my grandmother said she would go back in the back and have the baby and come out front and wait on people, which is... I doubt that, but anyway.
Okay, and so...
And then they moved to Kinsley.
And then they moved.
And then they were established here in business. They still owned land in Illinois from where my grandfather came. And they bought land in eastern Colorado, but they didn't really own any land right around Kinsley. They were in the... eggs, chicken, hide business, Bear Produce Company.
So they bought eggs from the local farmers?
Yes, and shipped them to Chicago by the train load. The train used to pull up to the back of the Bear Produce, and they'd roll these tall, tall cages of chickens on, and in this car, this train car, was a little cook stove, probably wood or coal, and a bunk, and Allie Bockhorst or one of the other employees would ride with those chickens to Chicago and keep them fed and watered on the way. I can remember getting in that train car and thinking that, oh, if I could just go along with them, it was really, and I can still see it. I you know, and they shipped hides, cow hides, to the tanneries back east. And then, of course, they shipped eggs in refrigerated cars when refrigerated cars became available.
And probably, well, I don't know, whether they used ice before that. Probably.
I don't know how far they shipped eggs before they had refrigerated cars. I know how they shipped chickens because they could take care of them.
Well, that's interesting. Today we would butcher the chicken and
freeze it.
But
they weren't frozen in that day.
That's really interesting. Okay, so your parents then met here?
My parents, yes, I can't really tell you how that happened either. And then we lived in Hopewell.
Oh, you lived in Hopewell?
And in Truesdale. In Hopewell and Truesdale, my dad worked at or ran the grain elevator, and my mother ran a restaurant in Truesdale.
In Truesdale.
Uh-huh. And we lived there when I was very young.
Do you remember Truesdale, though?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was Truesdale like at that time?
Truesdale was probably about what Kinsley is now, just a little bit smaller. Her restaurant was on Main Street. It was a brick building, you know, storefront building. I can remember that, and I was young. I don't remember what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to Hutchinson, and he was a guard at the reformatory, it was called at that time. And we lived there a few years, and then we moved back to Kinsley. And then their marriage was dissolved, and my two sisters and I went to live with our grandparents, the Bears.
Okay, was your father moving at this time because of the Depression,
I really don't know why. I think the job, almost all his life he was in the grain buying and selling business, and the running of elevators then was done by an individual. He worked for Collingwood out of Hutchinson, and he was hired by them to run the elevators. In fact, he ended up at Big Bow, Kansas. That was his last, that's where he grew old and retired from Big Bow. He ran a Collingwood elevator there.
Now, when you were at Truesdale, were you in school yet? Or were you?
Oh, no, I was a little bitty.
Just a little bitty.
I think I can remember it, because I can remember wet sheets being tacked up over the windows, mm-hmm, because of the dust. And I can remember walking down the dirt road, and we were barefooted, and my older sister and I, and some kind of a migrating beetle was walking across the road. I can still see that too. I'd have to be a sleeper drunk to see it. It's there.
So you do remember the dust storms a little bit?
Yeah, I do that much. Mm-hmm, I do. And I always was a puny kid and coughed and sneezed, which today is allergies, but mm-hmm, then was blamed on the dust bowl.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when did you come to Kinsley to live with your grandparents? What year about, or how old were you?
I was about five, probably.
Okay.
We had been living in Kinsley, but my grandparents assumed us, and my dad moved east, and my mother moved west, and we stayed here then, the three of us, the three girls.
Okay, so I'm trying to remember when you were born, 32, so we're talking about 37 about here.
Probably.
So you were a elementary school age kid when World War II started. Any memories there?
I remember the day that Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. My grandfather was sitting by a kind of a fancy radio with a cabinet and the cloth speaker in the front and the little dials and things up here. And I can remember standing there beside him, and I was 9 years old. And the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor. Yeah, I can still see that, too.
Do you have any other memories of World War II? The rationing, or how did it affect your family?
Oh, sure, yeah. The gasoline. For a while, I lived in California with my mother, and it was very obvious out there. She stood in line to buy cigarettes for my stepdad, and she traded sugar stamps and things for gasoline stamps, which were most important to her. So we could go places. And yeah, I remember the Second World War.
Where were you in California?
We were in Los Angeles at that time.
Because mm-hmm. I think people's experiences there were a little bit different than here, being closer to Japan. And
yeah, we were. I was visiting my aunt and uncle out there during World War II, and they were great partygoers, and they both worked in airplane plants.
Mm-hmm.
And one worked swing shift, and one worked the graveyard shift. And then we would go places in the car, and the lights were hooded. The headlight was covered on the top with black, and all you got to use was the lower part.
No, I've not heard that story. And
yes, I can still see that too. So I have a very vivid imagination. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Any other memories from there? Were you in school there, or were you just visiting?
I was visiting them. I can remember they had oil heat in the furnace, which I thought was very unusual. But it was pretty elegant to have even a floor furnace then. That was a big deal. And I can remember the unusual food. It was the first time I'd seen avocados. And they were, for small town people, they were adventuresome. And we went a lot of places. I can even remember going to nightclubs with them. And the entertainment that was there and the people dancing. But I don't have any names or exactly where. I wish I did have. I wish I knew exactly, particularly where the one nightclub was where there was. It was exciting, you know.
Yeah.
And then Country Girl could get the order of Pink Lady, and you know, and it was a really big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Were some of the warriors here in Kinsley also, or were you from 41 to 45, or were they all in California?
Well, they weren't all in California. They were back and forth. I went out there later. My stepdad worked at the in Long Beach at that time, and that was at the end of the war, and he was working for a naval shipyard, and I can remember going through that on Family Day, but I can't tell you any of the particulars except how overpoweringly huge everything was. I can remember the day the war with Japan was over. I was downtown with my little sister, and right in Long Beach, California, and that was pretty exciting.
What happened?
Lots of people gathered, and I can remember sailors, but also I'm influenced by living in Long Beach, which always had a lot of sailors, and by seeing the movies and the pictures I've seen since, so I can't really, it's just there in my mind. Diane and I were downtown. We went lots of places. We went across Long Beach and Los Angeles to go ice skating all by ourselves, get on the streetcar and go across Los Angeles, go to the ice skating rink. And I was in junior high school the 1 year that I lived in Long Beach.
Maybe we should mention what your stepfather's name was.
His name was Buell, B-U-E-L-L, Reeves, R-E-E-V-E-S. Mm-hmm. And they had a child, George, which was my younger half-brother. Mm-hmm. My older sister was my half-sister. My mother was married 3 times in her short life.
It was short, huh?
Yeah, she died at the age of 42.
Do you know how the war affected your grandfather's business here in any way, or was it basically the same?
I don't remember. I don't remember it affecting anything. I can remember still going. We used to go to Hutchinson to the Bassanti Hotel for conventions of people in the same business as he was. I can remember the Bassanti dining room quite well. I was very impressionable. I loved that fancy going on and going out to eat and, you know, doing a lot of things that not many people did then. And he died rather suddenly, quite young. He was 62. And they were at work one day. My aunt did the book work, and my grandmother worked, and he worked. Everybody worked at the Bear Produce and took care of business. And he stepped up to answer the telephone on the wall and got dead.
And what's your aunt's name?
Frances Bear.
Where was the Bear Produce located?
Located on the railroad, which was very important at that time, diagonally across from the railroad station. And I believe the building's still there. Or it's been maybe been torn down.
You know?
It's been torn down. It's been the last.
And also, they had a cooling when refrigeration came in. They had a train car parked on a foundation at the end of it that was used to store eggs when they started shipping them to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And Allie Bockhorst was one of the main, and both of his sons were main employees, and then a lot of ladies that I remember so well that candled eggs in the back, held the eggs up, you know, they could hold four or six in their hand, hold them up to the candlelight, and what was called the candlelight, and back in the dark room, and they were just chattering and candling those eggs, and
Okay, and what does it mean to candle an egg?
Shine a light through the shell to see if there's a flaw in it, if there's a big blood spot, or a bad egg, or, yeah, they all had to be candled. There was no, I don't think any government requirements then. That was just a business, because you were packing those eggs in cases, in wood cases that the Bockhorst boys had built in the other room to send on to Chicago by train.
Mm-hmm. You remember any of the names of the ladies?
One was a Kirkbride lady. One was, gosh, lived right behind. I know exactly where they lived. McFerrin family, yeah. And Bertha McFerrin, and oh, just a lot of other happy faces that I can remember. They were glad to have a job. Mm-hmm. And that was not an unpleasant job, because there wasn't a nicer guy in the world than my grandfather, who walked around with his nail apron on, carrying cats and kittens in his...
in the pockets?
In the pockets, yes. But, you know, cats were their great friends, because they had so many mice and rats around, and boy, the cats kept the place clean. You know, you didn't use poison and things then, but... and they had a dip for the chickens built into the dock outside, and they'd back the truck up there, and these chicken pens were about, oh, 6-12 inch high at least. As I look back on it, it looks big to me because I was only about so tall, but... And they'd raise that pen from its wheels and drop it down and dip. So if the chickens got any lice or whatever, then they'd quick yank them out, and the chickens would shake their heads and shake the feathers, and everybody was happy, and they were taken inside.
And so the chickens didn't stay very long at the produce.
No.
The farmers brought them in, and they
had to be fed and watered there, but they were brought in, and it, as I recall, it seemed rather common that they were shipping out a railroad train car of chickens.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty fascinating.
It was, I can just see it. I spent a lot of time there. It didn't bother them that kids were...
Did you start, like, working and candling eggs, too, or you just
No,
played?
I was too little. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just was
played
underfoot. With the kids. I was underfoot.
What was it like living with your grandparents? What was your
Well, I thought
life?
It was heaven. I felt like it was the luckiest thing that ever happened to me, that they came over and said, "Hit the road, goodbye. We're taking these kids home with us." And that's where it happened. My older sister was, a half-sister. I think I told you that, mm-hmm. didn't I? And then Diana and I were the other two. And we were raised to adulthood, really, there, except... One time I threw a fit wanting to go to be with my mother, mm-hmm. and my grandmother argued with me a little bit, and pretty soon she says, "Pack your suitcase, you're on your way to California." And I was sent to California, and I didn't stay very long, and I didn't like it, and they came and got me. But one time, when I was 9 years old, I went out there to visit, mm-hmm. and I went on the train by myself from Dodge City to Los Angeles.
My word.
Just, I can still remember it. It was just fantastic. It was around Thanksgiving and in the dining car. And
did you have a sleeper?
No, no, sleeping. I'm sure they had Pullman cars then, and probably had some fancy roomettes, because it was like the El Capitan, mm-hmm. probably, because it stopped here in Kinsley.
So
as I recall, it stopped in Kinsley, but it may have been Dodge, so I'm not sure about that. But anyway, that was an adventure for me.
And you were
that.
9, did you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was 9.
Did the conductor, or what, did they look after you?
Oh, I don't think so.
Did you have a note picked on?
No, no. I probably had a purse full of money, too. Who knows? I just, And I remember meeting a lovely lady who was traveling with her children. They were going someplace for Thanksgiving. And I can kind of remember them. But no, I was very independent.
Did you basically stay on the train, or were you, could you get off at stops? And
I don't remember getting off.
Okay.
No,
yeah,
I don't think that the streamliners really, you know, they stopped and people got on and they hit the rails. It was
okay. Then it may have been Dodge when you got on.
I think it probably was because the chief used to stop here because we took it to Kansas City later years, but. I believe we had to go to Dodge to get to the El Capitan. Mm-hmm.
And it took, what, about a day or two?
Oh, golly. More than that. Probably a day and a half at least.
And your mother did meet you at the station?
No, that's when I went to visit my uncle.
Oh, your uncle.
Uncle and aunt, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can remember that. He was waiting there at that big old Los Angeles station, and I came running down.
Isn't that amazing?
Well,
people did it then.
It was then, but neither of my sisters would have done that. That's who I was, you know. And when I got rescued from the home I was living in, a lot of alcohol problems in my family. And I just felt like somebody had opened the gate and let me out. Or drug me out.
Thank you. What do you remember about, like, Christmas in your grandparents' homes?
I remember Christmas at that house where my parents were. Always a lot of alcohol, always. And a lot of gifts. I mean, we were not poor people. My grandparents saw to that for everybody. Holidays were always a big meal. I can always remember that, yeah, wherever we were. Whether we were with my grandparents or...
Chicken or...
Well, no, turkey. They did turkeys, too. But no ham.
No ham.
Yeah, it was... And I went to grade school here, and I was very, very happy in grade school. And then, of course, when my grandfather died, that was a terrible blow to all of us. It was so unexpected, and he was such the heart of the family, held everything together. And that was a bad thing.
So, what happened to the business at that point? Did your grandmother keep going?
Well, my grandmother and aunt tried to continue with it, but it didn't last. And, of course, the other two girls, my mother and my aunt, see, there were three girls mm-hmm. in the Bear family, my mother and two sisters, and they wanted money. And... maybe, I don't know if you need to include that, but you can if you want to. I don't care. And so they had to settle the estate because although he was...
Even though your grandmother was still...
Yeah. Mm-hmm, but
alive.
But I'm not sure he even had a will. Mm-hmm. I'm sure... He was the kind of person who thought he would live forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With a zest for life and, you know, well, I'll do that tomorrow. Oh, that will business. I don't remember anybody ever talking about a will or mentioning it.
I'm trying to think, how old were you when he passed away? About, you said what year?
Well, see, I was 9 when I went to California. He was alive then. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I was in 5th grade, I believe, because I remember them coming to school to get me. I think it was in the 5th grade.
And you were at Southside?
Southside.
Mm-hmm. You have
Gale Graff, oh my goodness, yes, yeah. Uh-huh. I have lots of good memories of that. I remember him very well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a real down-to-earth teacher, principal, caretaker, you know, whatever, as I recall, mm-hmm. whatever needed to be done. I remember what did they call it when they taught writing with that book that had three? I remember having to move your whole arm to try to learn to write, and it didn't work with me at all. They even had a little more archaic name for it. But anyway, and then I can remember, of course, a lot of individual kids. And I was real happy there.
Did your life change as far monetarily or anything after your father, your grandfather passed? Or
well,
or didn't you notice?
I didn't notice it, and my grandmother was kind of a magician, keeping things, you know, keeping the balls in the air. And then Diana and I, see, I started high school here. I went freshman year to high school, and I was so much trouble and so ornery, and I'm sure that my grandmother saw the writing on the wall. And then Diana was 3 years behind me in school, so they sent us to Wichita to boarding school, to Mount Carmel Academy.
My goodness.
My last 3 years of high school, and Diana was there 6 years. And that was good, too. That was a really good thing. At the time, I was furious. But that was a good thing. It didn't take me very long to realize what a good thing it was.
And that's a Catholic?
That was, yes, a Catholic run by the Sisters of Charity, BVM, out of Chicago. It's no longer there. The area in West Wichita is there, and it's an apartment complex. And even the building, I had a private room, and it was in a separate building, and even that building's still there. But it had been built later. The original school building was old. It was there. I can't tell you how many years.
Well, that would have cost money. To send to the boarding school.
But also, it gave them, my grandmother and my aunt lived with her. She was married several times and came home, and thank God never had any children. But anyway, gave them freedom to travel. And it was a good thing.
Well, what was it like going to school at boarding school? Were they strict? Were they?
Well, yeah, they were strict, and it was a religious school, but we didn't have to participate. We didn't have to take religion. We were requested to come to Mass on Sunday, which was fine, and we participated in the retreats. They had 3-day retreats when you didn't speak. You just walked around, and you went to school, and you did your studies. Those were religious retreats for the Catholic girls, but we were all under a rule of no talking.
Even during class, you just would go and sit and read your textbook or whatever.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
And
how did you feel about being quiet for 3 days?
Everybody, of course, didn't think they could do it, but we did. Mm-hmm. The rules were not that hard to. I had one or two. A couple of nuns that were absolutely influential in the way I've lived my life. And one of them went on, they had a college, Clark College in Dubuque, Iowa, and Jill went up there and went to college, and that nun was there at that school. So she got to be an influence in Jill's life also.
Now, were there kids who did not board that just attended there?
Yes, there were day students from Wichita. There were students from, I remember one girl whose parents were in Venezuela. He was an oil man. And there was a girl from the reservation in Oklahoma who went to school there. And
so it was
people cross-section from Western Kansas. There was a girl from Spearville.
Cross-section socioeconomically. I mean, not it wasn't just rich kids going to boarding
school. No, it was. Well, there was a tuition.
Yeah.
And there was no such thing that I know of as any kind of assistance or anything.
Scholarship.
You came up with the money, but of course that was in a different day. You know, I graduated in 1950, so things were, and the food was horrible. It didn't, there was plenty of it, but it was awful. We used to think if we could just get into the nuns' dining room and see what they were eating, and we bet. And I said to my favorite dramatic teacher one day, I said, I'll bet you had a better dinner than I did. She said, I probably did. But, no, it was I made friends there that I would never have made otherwise. And, you know, one girl from Colorado who'd gone there since she was like in seventh grade had lived there. And I think Dr. Snowden's sister may have gone there. Of course, she was older than I, so I don't know her. But it was a very well-known school. There were two schools there. There was Sacred Heart, and some other people from Kinsley went to school there. But the BVM nuns from Chicago were a little more sophisticated, maybe. We had tremendous musical program there. And that was one of the things that drew a lot of the city. They had harp lessons and vocal lessons and musicals performed, and we did plays in the Wichita U auditorium, and I was in a couple of those. That was my love while I was in school. And we went to St. Louis to the theater convention, and we went to Washington, D.C. They took us on a trip.
Train.
Sure, through Chicago and to Washington, D.C., and spent a week there, and every place we go, we went, we had to dress up and wear hats and gloves.
Did you wear uniforms when you went to school?
Yes, oh yes. That's another good thing.
What was the uniform like?
The uniform was horrible. It was wool serge, navy blue wool serge, just really rough, and a white short-sleeved cotton blouse with a collar to fold out over this cardigan jacket, and you had to wash the blouses and iron them. We did our own laundry, personal laundry. Mm-hmm. And the suits had to be dry cleaned, of course, mm-hmm. and they had a dry cleaning pickup there. They took them in. I don't know how often, probably not very often.
No.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe blue wouldn't show anything.
Pleated, and serge was so rough it couldn't show anything either. But yeah, that was good. That was a good thing, that wearing uniforms.
Takes love. Yeah.
The jackets were lined, thank God, or your arms would have bled from the wool.
Were there sports?
We had a gym teacher. Our gym teacher was a woman, not a nun, and she used to go outside and smoke, which really made us jealous. Because, I mean, we couldn't smoke. When we went to town, we'd go on the city bus, of course, and we had to dress up. And I can still see that nun saying, and no smoking. Trust me, we'll know it when you get back. And I believed them, and rebel that I might have been. I did no smoking while I was going to school there.
Now, this is high school, so mm-hmm. was there a boys' academy that you got together with, or were boys
out? Well, boys were not a big part of it. When we were seniors, we got to have a big dance and invite boys to that, and that was downtown at the Broadview Hotel. Mm-hmm. And boys could come and visit, you know. There was a military academy at Hayes at that time, and it seems to me like some of them came down or some of the girls went up to a day. I don't know. I didn't go. I don't remember going anywhere.
Let me see. You graduated in what year?
50.
50. I graduated in 1950. Yeah. Anything else we want to know about? That's fascinating. I didn't know it was part of your life at all.
Quite a story, yeah.
Did you take the train to Wichita or take the train?
No. When they drove me down, we'd my grandmother and aunt, we would go through by the back road, the parallel, you know, mm-hmm. and go by the Pratt Airport, we'd get onto the main highway and go in. Or we took the bus home, because I remember one time, and I hadn't been there very long, and they were going on a trip, and my older sister was living here with her children, and so I came home to visit her on the bus, and I called my grandmother in Oregon, and I said, I'm not going back. She said, oh, yes, you are, and you get on that bus, and you go, and I don't want to hear any more about it. For this is from Oregon that I heard this message. I said, okay. So I did. And that's the only time I could ever remember. I can remember really being mad when I got back at school, but that's the only time that I was ever unhappy there.
And you came home for like Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Yeah,
and
an occasional weekend, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the
summer. They had spring
summer
breaks then.
Oh, God, maybe not. Well,
maybe,
they might have come home for
so.
Easter, though.
Possibly, yeah. But we came home. We were not. There was no restraint, really.
Right.
You could go home on the weekend if you could get there and back in time, yeah.
And but summers you weren't there?
No.
So you came back here for summers?
Lived here in the summers, uh-huh. Got into as much trouble as I possibly could before school started. Made everybody as miserable as I could before school started.
So what was your entertainment in the summertime without telling?
Swimming, a lot of swimming. And, of course, for years the wonderful pool was down north, and I remember that very well, and took lifeguard lessons there from Vern and Rosemary.
So you were a lifeguard?
No, I never even learned to swim. I don't know how I took those lessons. I still can... Why didn't I learn to swim? They were teaching. I don't know what they were teaching. We had a wonderful time.
They must have taught you resuscitation.
They did teach that, and then they taught jumping in the water with your shirt on and getting your shirt off. So, and I can remember almost drowning in that. I can remember kind of being pulled out of the water with that. God, I don't know what we were doing. But it was the lifeguards set up on the roof of the building, of the dressing room, and they were so wonderful and so nice to the kids, and they were all so handsome, and, you know, they were nice times.
We had a happy time.
Good time, and
the palace.
Even when my kids were little, we still used that swimming pool. And the Palace Theater. Great moviegoers. Yeah, we got to go to the movies as much as we wanted to.
And roller skating. Did you do that?
Some.
Uh-huh. You don't remember when the pink building became pink, do you?
No, I don't. I tried to help you on that the other day, but then I was one of those who thought it was still pink, so you can't. Is it pink now? I don't know.
Color.
Anyway.
It's a weird color, though.
And yeah, the pink building was a big deal. You know, there were dances. Big community dances. The bands came through. I mean, probably some of them we would today recognize the name of. And I can remember the College Boys, the Shapers and the Wyricks, and all those boys would come home and we'd go to the dances. And, oh, yeah, we had a good time. That was really fun. That was real serious dancing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was more of an art form.
We thought it was.
bonfires out by the river?
I can remember some beer parties out by the river.
Or fishing? Did you?
No. I don't. And I can remember going to the sand pit, which we weren't supposed to swim in, but we did. But I didn't swim. Got in the water. There were a lot of kids living, or young people living here then. We had lots of good times, lots of parties, lots of driving around in the car, and Bert Hines would get her car. Her dad was a car dealer, which was wonderful. You know, she always had a car available. And, we had a good time.
Okay, let's see. You graduated probably in June of 50, but somehow you met...
May.
And Tom, when did he come into your life?
Well, I'd known him... from the summer before my senior year, yeah. And so there, yeah, we had, and he'd come down to Wichita to see me, or I'd come home to see him. And then we got married in October of 50. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember anything when you got your ring, or did you get it, were you engaged?
Yes.
Any romance?
I remember losing it.
I did mine once.
Oh, I never found mine again. Did you find yours? Mm-hmm. Oh, lucky you. And I can remember, I can have very pleasant memories of all of this, you know. I don't really...
Where, did you get married in the church?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh, yes, we sure did. We had lots of bridesmaids. It was a really big wedding. Oh, yeah. Lots of bridesmaids, lots of Paul Durall, a big dinner at the family dinner at the house, and a big reception, and lots of...
Where was the reception?
At my grandmother's house. Mm-hmm. She was tickled to death I was getting married.
And what was Tom doing then? He's older than you are. So.
Yes, he had been to a year or a year and a half of college, and his dad... had started the J.I. Case agency, and his dad always had a machine shop down here, and the farm machinery dealership was started, and he and his brother Jerome were running that. And then later sold Oldsmobile cars. They had the dealership for that.
So he was a businessman.
Yeah, businessman and farmer, and he farmed
pretty good catch.
Some ground. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was big deal then, you know. I was supposed to be a good catch. And he was supposed to be a good catch. We each thought the other had money, and did we get fooled? And that's the way things were then, for my group, anyway.
And where did you live when you first married?
We lived in a house on Niles. where Mrs. I can't remember, behind the quick stop there, the handy shop, two houses. We lived there. My grandmother owned the house. We rented the house from her. And then we bought the house. And then we went to Dodge City and had the Case dealership there for a year and a half, maybe. And then we came back, sold it, and came back here. In fact, I think Case Company bought that and put it in a company store in Dodge City. And we came back here and bought the house on 7th Street. And it was the former church parsonage for Church of Christ, Church of God. Rosetta will be able to find that out. The one that Al Akers built over there.
Nazarene. Over there.
No, not the Nazarene. Nazarene's here. And then it's where Gartons live now.
Oh, okay, sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And we bought that and lived in the upstairs while we redid the downstairs. You know how everybody has to do one house in their lifetimes? Mm-hmm. We completely redid that house and raised the kids there. And I bought the store in 1964. And my youngest child was 9. I had done a lot of the bookwork at the farm business, the machinery business, up until that time.
Now, how did you do the bookwork with these little kids running around?
Rosetta, Betty Ackerman Ryan.
So they took care of the kids during the day.
Yeah.
And you actually went
Aunt Lena Rapp. Remember Aunt Lena Rapp? Oh, she was wonderful. One day. She was taking care of the children, and the phone rang on the desk, and I picked it up, and Aunt Lena said, "The girls are on their way down to the garage," meaning Seal and Jill, and they had a sack of candy, and they left home and walked all the way down to the garage. They were like 5 and 3 and a half, or 4 and 2 and a half, or something. Walked down there. I met them.
Were they running away, or they just wanted to come see?
They were walking away. They just told her, and she was such a lovely lady. They could have said, "We're going to Dodge City." She just said, "Oh, I'm going to call your mother." And you know, she was so nice. She was Elva Molitor's Elva. No, not Elva Molitor's mother. She was Agnes Pilger's mother, I believe. I'm not mistaken. Yeah, you probably have had some of them in. We had that business in the car business for years. And then Tom did farming. And
where was the farm?
Well, north of town was the farm, the original farm. We didn't ever live there, but that's where the farm was. But he early on bought sandhill ground and was one of the first irrigators.
When did he start irrigating?
Oh, boy.
Can you think how old the kids were?
No, it was such a jumble then.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh, almighty. I really can't remember, but he may have been the first person to buy him. It was the lady that was one of the heirs to this, that he bought this land from, used to work for the library here. Dark-haired lady. I don't mean here. It was when it was here.
Oh. Pretty green?
Lived in the north part of town.
Wasn't it in the ground?
I believe it was. And she had been, that name of that, I can't remember her pre-marriage name. Anyway, that was the first irrigated ground he bought down there.
And he was an early irrigator.
Very early circle irrigator. Maybe not flood, but he was one of the first of the circle irrigators.
We left earlier about Mary was busy, which we don't have this on the tape. But she had 4 children from 1951 to 55. So 4 children in 4 years. So that was why she was busy, and we were laughing a minute ago.
Tom's mother used to come down to the house. She lived just down the alley from us. And she and George lived down the alley from us. And she would come in the evening, and we would bathe the children in the downstairs bathroom. You know, Tom would wash them, and she would put them in and take them out of the tub, and I would ride herd on the other children in the meantime. But one night I wasn't riding herd very well, and Jill got the baby aspirin bottle, and Bodie was just barely walking, and I walked in the kitchen and I said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "We're eating candy." And I thought, "Oh, you know what I thought." So I scooped him up, took the bottle. We took him to the hospital. Dr. Udry was still alive. He was the one on call or whatever they had in those days. And they had to pump her stomach. And if that wasn't a nightmare, because they wrapped him in a sheet, and the nurse stood behind him and held him in a sheet while he put this tube down and pumped her stomach. It was like torture.
Oh, yeah.
Only it didn't really hurt. So frightening. And he said to me, "You get over here and help us." And I said, "I can't." "You get over here and help us. You're responsible for this." I said, "I can't." And I stood in the corner, my face in the corner, and I cried the whole time. And from that time on, every time I went in to see him, which was not very often because he was not really our family physician, he'd say, "You'll put this medicine up, won't you?" He was a man who had no children. He and his wife had each other. That's all they had. But that was...
Jill was born with a heart defect?
Yeah, it's a hole in her heart. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
she was the third one done. The third one repaired in Wichita. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a big
new
deal.
Procedure?
I've got news. Brand
new.
Doctor, they had a team there. Mm-hmm. And they had this huge heart-lung machine that would practically fill this room. And we had to have 43, they had to do 43 pints of blood used in that surgery to prime that machine, to use it while they had her heart out. They had to circulate blood through her body. Mm-hmm. And they got the blood at that time, I believe it was from the Red Cross, of Bill Werner. And his wife had a child in the hospital at that time, and he went down and donated blood. But she was an AB positive, like I am, which is not rare, but it's very uncommon. And this lady in Red Cross said to me, because Tom had gone in afterwards to give his blood, and I was too thin, they wouldn't take mine, and she said, "It's your blood we'd really like to have." She said, "Do you know how many people we had to go through to get that?" And she told me, I don't remember what that was, but it was a lot of them to find that type of blood. And it was a successful surgery. At that time, they took a rib out and took the heart out and operated on Dr. Shelato, whose family still is in medicine in Wichita, was the specialist.
And how old was she?
She was six. She was in first grade. And she had some problems before, and you could tell she was not an altogether healthy child, but she was a vibrant child. She was full of piss and vinegar, as they used to say.
So we're talking 1959 here about.
I guess, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And it was a big deal then. She was the third one in Wichita that they did. And one of those children lived, I don't know how long, and the other one didn't. But it was a situation. Tom's nephew was born. Jerome's boy was born with the same thing in a day when there was nothing mm-hmm. they could do. And he lived to be 20. Well, he was like when he was 18 years old, they took him to Mayo's because they were doing some there. And they checked him out. They said there's too much damage to the heart and mm-hmm. and the liver and the kidneys. And he died when he was about 22. But Jill's still going. And then later in life, much later, when she was in her 30s, we discovered she had the same defect. And the doctor in Dodge discovered that she'd had strange panic attacks and strange things happening to her, and low on energy, and she had the same thing. And Dr. Shelato, or Dr. Of course, Dr. Shelato was no longer doing them in Wichita. It was a not uncommon repair job then. But her cardiologist that she was sent to was the one that comes to Kinsley now. I go to him. Anyway, she said, well, what are my chances? What do you think? And he said, I don't know. He said, I don't know anybody that's lived as long as you have with such a dire thing wrong with their heart. He said, you know, we'll do the best we can. Now, and she donated her own blood. That was right at the start of the AIDS epidemic. Mm-hmm. And she drove to Wichita regularly and donated. I think you could donate every 6 weeks. And she had to drink a lot of water and drink a lot of juice and stuff in between. But she donated and they banked her blood. And so when they did her surgery, the surgeon came out to talk to us. And of course, she was married. Laverne was there. And he said she didn't have a wall. She had a piece of Swiss cheese dividing those chambers of her heart. I don't know how in the world.
Well, about what year was this? How many years ago?
I don't know. We'd have to find out. Mm-hmm.
They were asking.
But they did a split then. And split her open and repaired the heart. And she felt better immediately.
Okay, going back to Jill.
Mm-hmm.
Was there such a thing as health insurance at that time?
Yes, there was. There was Blue Cross Blue Shield, and fortunately we had it, because I think that whole thing cost like maybe $1,800. Surgeons and you name it, they were there, and there was a surgeon brought in from out of town, and there was a cardiologist, and there was a pediatrician, and there was days in the hospital.
That was the total cost, or what you had to pay?
We had to pay like $400. And, of course, that was a lot of money then.
Yeah.
But I think our Blue Cross Blue Shield premium was like $4 or $5 a month when it first started, which mm-hmm. would have been 6 years before that.
Isn't that something?
Isn't that just something? Of course, there have been great strides made since then. I will admit that. And the heart and lung machine's about this big. But
it was about...
Right now, it's about
30 inches, she's indicated.
Uh-huh. And then before, it just was huge, because they took us in to see it. It was in a separate room from the surgery, and they pumped it through the wall, and I don't know. Yeah.
Well, one of our questions that I think deals with the medical care here in Kinsley and the hospitals, and now when, with the aspirin incident, that would have been the old hospital.
The old hospital, yes.
On Fifth mm-hmm. Street. Do you remember when the controversy, or when they built the new hospital, or anything about that?
Yeah, I kind of remember it being a controversy. I don't remember having any real strong opinion of it. I really don't.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else about the medical? That's interesting.
All your children were born at the old hospital.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you did mention that you laid in for like 10 days or whatever.
Yes, we did. It was wonderful. Betty Olson and I one time shared the room, and we had a good time. You couldn't smoke in the hospital then because of the head nurse. It wasn't any kind of state law or anything. She wouldn't let you. So we used to stand by the window and blow smoke out the window.
Was that Mrs. Moore?
No, Mrs. Moore was a nurse, but it was the lady that had the rest home up north.
Oh, Esther Smith.
Esther Smith was the head nurse then. But Mrs. Moore worked there, Mrs. Bell worked there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Loopy Rocha was there, you know.
Uh-huh. We haven't talked about that with anybody on the tape, but I remember those days. Just about everybody smoked at that time, didn't it?
Well, everybody I knew did. Now, my husband didn't smoke, and none of my children smoked except Jill, and she only smoked a few short years. None of my children were drinkers either. And all of my, you know, my sisters and my brother, all dead from the effects of alcohol. My mother, at age of 47, whatever she was, 42.
It's a deadly disease.
Yeah, it's a very deadly disease.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's see. Let's go back to the business community then. You bought Ellers, is that?
Yeah, from Vern Rosemary. Rosemary was Earl Ellers' daughter. I bought that.
And that was in 50...
No, 64. Yeah, I scoured the town finding the money to buy that thing. I tell you, I really had to dig deep.
So,
but got loans, and Tom's dad signed a note, and yeah, I got the money all by myself.
Now, was it unusual at this time for a woman to be buying? Because Tom really wasn't involved, right?
No, he really wasn't. No.
Own the business and or not?
Clarice Stutzman owned already the dress shop across the street.
Mm-hmm.
She had it for years. Marguerite Coover had always been involved in the business, but she wasn't formerly in Ehlers. Not that store, but they shared a building. And I never thought about that.
Okay.
Of course, I think that that is something that has been, in a way, twisted. And if you watch the video, Susan B. Anthony and Mrs. Kate, or her,
mm-hmm.
I think that should be required viewing for everybody from kindergarten up, men and women, children. Absolutely, to see what women early on, I wasn't going through anything by doing what I did. That was just what I did. I had no education. I couldn't be a nurse. What could I be? You know, I couldn't be a teacher.
Had you ever had thoughts of going to college? Or
yes.
Was it always
oh,
married?
My goodness, yes. They were great on college, of course. It was the high school I went to. Everybody in the class, I think, but me went. But I... And I was going to go to Webster Groves in St. Louis. That was a ladies' college. Or thought I was. Thought about it. But I didn't go. I wasn't a very good student. I had an awfully good time, but I was not a very good student. I was good in drama. I did really well in that, but that doesn't earn you a living, you know.
Very few people.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah, you really got to be lucky to do that. So,
well, tell us what Ehlers, what did you sell in, or not, became Foxes, mm-hmm. but what did you sell in?
At the start we sold everything from ladies and children's and baby shoes and clothes, and yard goods, extensive yard goods department, and patterns, big, those things were a big deal then, and buttons and notions and coats from Betty Rose Coat Factory in Kansas City, Missouri, and, you know, we sold everything except menswear, and we didn't at that time sell any gifts, because Vern and Rosemary had put in a gift shop on the back of the store. And it was connected. We had a walk-through area there.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't put in gifts till later when they closed that store.
Okay. Well, I wasn't here. Did you sell, like, a bedding and sheets?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah,
okay.
Fieldcrest blankets. Everything was made in the United States. It was fantastic. If you had anything in our software line or clothing line or house, you know, home things that are called software or were then, it was all made in the United States. I can remember when the first sweaters came on the market that were made in China. And we used to go to Kansas City to market four times a year. And the salesman said, "Have I got a deal for you?" I can still see that. And rolled out these really gorgeous, at that time, sweaters. And then the price. And I thought, wow, we've got it made.
About what year was
it? It was a year we all wore our hair in afros.
Oh, afros.
Anyway.
How long did you have the store from 60?
I had it 25 years.
Kind of in the 70s.
It must have been the early 70s, probably. And, of course, those were, early 70s were kind of boomy years here. Our business was with the local economy. Where our customers were local. You know, this was, when I started that store, there was no Walmart. Well, Mr. Walmart had a store where he came from, but he didn't have his chain of stores. There was
Gibson's.
Gibson's went in while we were there, and of course it was a draw for people. But we had, and in those days people dressed differently. I can remember when the first ladies' jean line came on the market. That was a big deal. They didn't have to have a zipper in the front, and they, you know, they made them for all sizes. We just sold those like crazy. And they were, you know, today you could wear them to the bank. If you worked in the bank, I mean, but in those days you didn't.
So, and ladies had to have gloves and hats.
Yeah.
And
well, about
homes.
The 60s is when that was going out, when the hippies came in, you know. We had girdles, we had corsets when we first started. You know, we had slips, we had nylon lingerie, we had everything. And high-heeled shoes and low-heeled shoes and Dr. Scholl's were not made in China. They were made in the United States, and they were a big deal for all the nurses and for all the ladies that cooked at the school, and they were a good... We even carried some of those really old lace-up Oxfords that the ladies used to wear.
Now, the store itself had two floors. Were you
originally,
both?
But no, we had storage and junk up above. It hadn't been used for a long time. Mm-hmm. It had a mezzanine, but that was not used either. It was just there.
Now, I'm going with my memories. I should have Rosetta asking these questions. Did you use the little things that the money flew?
No. The store in Larned did. They had that, but we didn't. So we had cash register.
Cash registers. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Did you have charge? Did people charge?
My goodness, yes. That was really kind of the big backbone of a small business person, whether it's a grocery store or I remember I charged my groceries. We'd pay after harvest, pay Dean Weidenheimer after harvest, you know, and hope to goodness that the harvest was a good one so we could pay the grocery bill.
He hoped too.
Yes, but you'd never have known he hoped that,
right.
You know. And but every place had charge accounts, and you wrote out the tickets, and they signed the ticket, and, you know, at that time.
In one of our interviews, I think it was Lloyd Munhake, he talked about getting his first charge card.
Yeah. And I remember when we were one of the first businesses, and maybe the only one in Kinsley to accept Bank America, that's what it was then, and MasterCard, whichever one it was then. But not very many people used it, mm-hmm. And it was big, cost the store a lot of money, yeah. You know, and all that stuff. But we were there with it, and we had a children's play area, you know, in there, close to the register, so we could keep our eye on them. And it was a good store. It was a good, sound store. We kept decreasing the size. We closed off the front where the old bank vault was. We closed that off where the baby department had been, and moved the baby department to a different area, made it smaller, but still a nice gift area, nice diaper, you know, mm-hmm. Then.
Yeah.
And then we lowered the ceiling and closed off. Then eventually we put a wall across the back, which took, see, that was 75 feet wide and 100 feet deep. So there was a lot of floor space there. And so we just kind of decreased it as business declined, as Walmart really took the heart out of everybody. You know, there's no doubt about it. And what can I say? That's what happened, and it's part, I guess, of progress. I don't know. But that's what happened, and so when it got so bad, let me just look and see who that is.
We can stop this if we need to.